In the book of James, we are given some very strong warnings regarding how we should use our tongue. The tongue is something that we really don't give a lot of thought to, and sometimes the words that come out of our mouth would have been better unspoken. And so James deals with three separate issues that we're going to be looking at. We looked at one last week, we'll look at another one today, and then I think another two after that. But the one last week was the fact that the tongue is a fire. He doesn't say it's like a fire. It is a fire. It takes the unstable emotions in people's hearts and it changes them. It can change love into hate. It can change trust into disgust. The tongue has the power to do some very amazing things. In the verse we're going to look at, in James chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he compares the tongue to the various types of animals that God has created. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And then he goes on to say what? But the tongue cannot be tamed. Now why is he saying that? Why is he saying that animals can be tamed, but a tongue cannot be tamed? And what is it about a tamed animal that leads us to be so fascinated? It's big business. The circuses have pretty much come to an end, but for over a century, people were willing to spend their money to go out and watch these people work with these tamed animals. And in the process of that, we see the deadly serpent that is trained not to strike. The lion who, you see this man sticking his head in the lion's mouth. And you realize that all the power is there and all he has to do is close his mouth. And that man is putting himself into a very dangerous situation. But he believes it's not dangerous because that animal has been tamed. And so no one, however, can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. So we see three basic points there. First of all, you can't tame the tongue. Secondly, it is a restless evil. And thirdly, it is full of deadly poison. Now, when's the last time we thought about this verse as we were about to say something? What is the point? What is the attitude that James is trying to get us to see here? What exactly does he want us to understand about our tongues and how we should use our tongues? Well, first of all, he says it is a restless evil, which means it's unstable, it's unsettled, it's inconstant, and it can't be restrained. You would think that all we'd have to do is keep our mouth closed and this wouldn't be the case, but it's not the case. And the problem, as we'll see in our very last verse, is that Jesus said that what happens is those thoughts that are in the heart that shouldn't be uttered, that should never see the light of day, that should never reach into the heart of another person, but the tongue cannot be depended upon to not do that. And we've all found ourselves in that situation. Sometimes we are under the power of emotion. And we say something we know we shouldn't say, but we don't have the control to say it. Other times we say things that we just aren't thinking. We're not thinking. We are revealing things that shouldn't be revealed, either about ourselves, about how we feel, or maybe about someone else that should not have been brought out to the light of day. And the interesting thing about it is the difference between a tamed animal is that you can always count on a tamed animal not to respond, but with the tongue, you can't. With the tongue, you can think, I'm not going to say this, but then in the course of the conversation, out it comes. Or I'm never going to become angry and say something like this again, but then I become angry and it comes out before I even realize it and the damage is done. Words that are spoken cannot be unsaid. You can apologize for them, but it's like the serpent that strikes and injects the poison into the body and then says, I'm sorry, I lost control for a few seconds there. That's not going to be very helpful. We might appreciate the attitude of the serpent, but it's not going to change the outcome now that that poison has been injected and the circumstances are going to occur. So basically, the tongue needs to be feared. I think that's what God is saying here. It's like a fire. It's a restless evil. It's like a wild animal. It's full of deadly poison. And we need to be very afraid to speak. We need to be very careful. Matter of fact, we'll see a verse here in a few minutes. God is in heaven and you're on the earth. Let your words be few. Why? Because in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So we have to be careful, and we have to be very concerned whenever the tongue is in motion, whenever we're going over and having a conversation with someone. We need to appreciate the danger of what it is. As Jesus said, you can defile your body by the words that come out of your mouth. And so the biggest problem is the instability of our emotions. I can love someone but become so angry with them that for just that momentary second, I don't feel the love. I may actually feel anger. I may actually feel almost the point of hatred where I want to damage, I want to destroy, I want to crush. And so what happened? Well, this stable emotion of love became unstable because of anger. And now not only is the fire in my heart eating away at the emotion, but the words that are about to come out are about to start a fire in somebody else's heart. And so what used to be or should be a stable relationship can become unstable because, first of all, I'm starting a fire. And secondly, now I'm injecting deadly poison. Well, when we're tempted and drawn away by our lust, whatever that lust is, the next step can bring disaster. And sometimes it's different words to different people. In other words, I'll bless God, but I'll curse man. With my tongue, I can bless our God and Father, and with it we can curse man who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. How are we doing with that? We're going to see next week that many people do not stumble. They've grown, they've developed. But he said, if a man does not stumble in his words, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. The words are going to be the last thing. As a matter of fact, it seems from the book of James that the words cannot be contained. They cannot be controlled. That it will be something that will always get us into trouble unless we carefully think about what we're saying. And we treat it like that animal. When I'm in the same room with a tamed lion, I don't care how tame it is, I'm going to be very cautious. And if I'm in with a tame serpent, because I understand the danger of a serpent, I understand the danger of a lion. And yes, it's been tamed, but it still has the potential, and therefore I'm going to treat it with caution. And we still read often of people who get killed because they didn't do that. They thought that this wild animal had been so tame, but you can't take it completely out of them. And the same thing is true with the tongue. So with it, we can bless God and we can curse men. With it, we can bless our friends and curse our enemies. Jesus said, I don't want you doing that. I don't want you cursing anyone. And the second problem is the different words to the same people. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapefruit bear figs? Grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What's James trying to get us to understand? He's trying to get us to understand that the tongue should be consistently used, regardless of the individual, whether we're in the company of the same people or different people, whether we're in the same, whether we're in the midst of our enemies and our friends, our brethren and the lost. Those people who hate us and want to destroy us, or those people who are loving and kind to us, it doesn't make any difference. The spring should send forth the same fresh water. Well, what's he basically saying here? Is he saying Jesus shouldn't rebuke this people and comfort these people? No, he's saying Jesus should not sin in the midst of these people by becoming so angry or becoming so bitter that words come out that shouldn't come out. And it doesn't matter whether it's the same people, because sometimes it is. Sometimes someone will talk to the people they love, but the words that come out are bitter because of the emotions that are not able to be controlled. So we have two things to control. We need to control the emotions in the heart, but we also need to control the tongue. And so what God is trying to help us understand is that the tongue is very dangerous, and we all need to be very careful. We need to be very, very careful with the use of the tongue. We read this verse last week. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. My death and life, the death and life of the friendships and the relationships. Remember that song, "Brightest links in life are broken by a single angry word." Sometimes life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit, whether it's death or whether it is life. And so one of the saddest stories, I think, in the scriptures is a blessing and a curse. This is that old prophet who rushes after the young prophet and says, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I cannot return with you, nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a command came to me by the word of the Lord, you shall eat no bread nor drink water there. Do not return by going the way which you came." And he said to him, "I also am a prophet like you, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water." But he lied to him. Now, it doesn't seem like the man really wanted to put him to death. I don't know what his motivation was. It's really interesting to read through the story and try to understand what this man's motivation was. But the point is, with his words, he is speaking love. "Come home with me. I want to feed you. I want to give you something to drink. I want you to relax. I want to take care of you." And the man says, "I'm sorry. I can't do it. It's not in my best interest to come home with you because God has told me not to eat or drink here." So he should have let him go. But he didn't. He lied to him. He said, "An angel told me that you could come home and eat with me." Well, we know the end of the story. A lion met him. A lion killed him. And he was killed because of this lie. So life and death are in the power of the tongue. And this is an interesting story. And it's a story that we see played out over and over again in today's culture with all of these false teachers who are teaching people things that are not true. And Jesus talks about that. He says, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. And he says, let them alone. Every plant which my Father didn't plant will be uprooted. There are still these people today. I don't want to be one of them. You don't want to be one of them. Let's be careful when we're talking about Scripture. Let's be careful when we are discussing the relationship with God, that we are using the Scriptures and not our own thinking. I don't know if this man knew he was lying. I suspect that he did. I don't know if he knew that the consequences were going to be like this. Maybe in his own heart he really thought that this had occurred. It doesn't make any difference. In Psalms 140, well, actually, let's just put all of these verses up, or all these concepts up. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. I rushed through a point that I had up there earlier, and that is I've always thought that the nature of the curse is not just arbitrary. When God changed the insect world and the animal world and the fish or the sea world from a docile place, we read in Genesis chapter 2 that all things ate herbs, that everything in the ocean and everything on the earth, they all ate herbs. They were all docile. They were all like the whale eating the plankton. There weren't sharks. There weren't lions, and there weren't these poisonous serpents. That all came after as a result of the curse. And why did God make the world so violent, so cruel, so vicious. I mean, if you watch the lion, if you watch the shark, if you watch the eagle taking out something, it kind of tears at your heart to watch a serpent biting someone and to watch them slowly die. Well, why did God do that? I think part of the reason that he did that is to illustrate what's going on in the spiritual realm as a result of what we did. The physical realm simply reflects what's going on in the spiritual realm. And that's why we got to have wolves for Jesus to say that false teachers are like wolves in sheep's clothing. And we have to have deadly serpents in order for us to illustrate the terrible power of the tongue. And we have to have the ferocity of these various animals for James to be able to say that man has been able to tame all of these things, but you can't tame the tongue, and the tongue is full of deadly poison. Well, if there wasn't any deadly poison, we wouldn't be able to use that to illustrate what is going on in the spiritual realm. So I really think that in many respects, what we see under the ocean, the way that things prey on one another, is exactly what we see in the spiritual realm as a result of what the devil was able to accomplish. So the serpent's poison is designed to strike either the central nervous system so that you slowly can't breathe anymore and your heart can't beat anymore and you slowly suffocate and die that way, or the blood just starts pouring out of your eyes and all of your vessels and you die. They're both horrible ways to die. Well, why did God create poisons to act like that? Well, because we need that in order to understand what happens when we use our tongue. My tongue can do the same thing to another person's heart that a serpent can do. And the black mamba, when it bites, the heart starts to slow and slow and slow, and pretty soon that person is no longer breathing and they've died. If a cobra strikes, then you're going to see blood coming out of everywhere until they are dead because they don't have the ability to sustain their life anymore. You say, well, boy, Alan, that's really gruesome. Well, yes, it is gruesome. But it's no less gruesome than what that man did when he told that young prophet, if you come home with me, it'll be fine, when the reality was he was going to be put to death. And the poison of asps was under that man's lips when he made that statement. And so the tongue needs to be held in fear. If I see a serpent, if you see a serpent, we're not going to forget he's there. We're not going to say, oh, okay, and turn back and start a conversation. We're not going to take our eyes off of that thing. Because it's deadly, it's dangerous, it's terrible. And nothing else matters. As long as that's in the room, we're going to be aware of that. And the same thing is true. When I'm angry, as long as that anger is in the room, I need to be aware there's a deadly serpent. And the poison of asps is right under my tongue. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to say something that could change the course of someone's life. A child's life, a family member's life, somebody else's life. We have to understand the danger, because if we don't understand the danger, we're not going to change our conduct. If we don't understand the danger, we're going to continue to do it again and again, and we're going to find ourselves constantly injecting this poison, and we need to see it this way in order to be able to make these changes. We need to be afraid. Look at these verses. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. He who restrains his lips is wise. He who has knowledge spares his words. A fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. More hope for a fool than one hasty in his words. Now, these are words to memorize if we have a problem saying things we shouldn't say. If we have a problem looking back on the end of the day and saying, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. We better start putting these words in our minds, and we better start memorizing them, and we better start talking less. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. If we like to talk, we like to talk, we like to joke, we like to say things, we just keep talking, and we've got to be careful. The more you talk, the more chance sin is going to come out, the more chance you're going to say something you shouldn't have said, reveal something about someone you shouldn't reveal, reveal how you feel about somebody that you shouldn't have revealed, express things that shouldn't be expressed. He who restrains his lips is wise. In other words, all of these passages are saying the tongue is a deadly fire. The tongue is a wild animal that cannot be tamed. The poison of asps is under the tongue. Not mine. Now, yours maybe, but not mine. That's how some people look at it, and they'll never grow. These are things that God has put into the Scriptures because he knows, another verse we're going to look at toward the end of the lesson, every idle word that a man speaks, he'll give an account on the judgment day. We should probably do that sometime. We should probably turn our phone on in the course of an evening that we're chatting with people and just let it go and then listen to what we said and see how we feel about what we said after. As we were in the midst of joking, or as we were in the midst of a conversation where somebody was revealing about somebody, something that really shouldn't have been revealed, and we decide to pass judgment on it, and we make some statements, and we think to ourselves, you know, if somebody said that, I said that about that person, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't said that. Or if somebody had overheard me say that, I would have been so embarrassed. Well, the Lord says, I'm recording everything. And on the judgment day, I'm going to play it all back to you, and I'm going to ask you, why did you say that? And why did you think and actually verbalize that? Why did you say this to that person? And then Jesus says, by your words, you're going to be justified, and by your words, you're going to be condemned. Well, at that point, I say to myself, you know, I think I better talk a lot less. I think I better be very careful at what I say. And of course, the preacher's got it kind of tough because he's up preaching 45 minutes, a couple of times a week. And sometimes he says things he shouldn't say. Sometimes he's being a little too jokey and he says something or he takes the scriptures and he makes an application he doesn't quite know. And we're going to have to give an account of that, so we better go through it. And if we say something we shouldn't say, we need to fix it. Because these verses are all true. If I talk too much, I'm going to sin. If I don't restrain my lips, I'm not going to be wise. If I have a knowledge of the scriptures, then I'm going to start talking less. I'm going to realize a fool is counted wise if he holds his peace, and that if I guard my mouth and my tongue, I'm going to keep my soul from troubles. And there's more hope for a fool than a man who is hasty in his words. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2, God makes it very clear. He's very, very honest and open here. Do not be rash with your mouth. Well, what does rash mean? It means be careful what you say. Don't brag about things. Don't make vows. He's going to continue on with the idea. Don't make a vow to God. Don't make a promise to God and then not keep it. He says you need to be very careful. Let your heart not utter anything hastily before God. Well, I hate to tell you, but everything I utter is before God. Because God hears every word that I say. And so I need to be very careful. Don't be rash. Don't be hasty, for God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Have we taken that to heart? Have we even thought about this verse? Does this verse ever cause us to stop and say, you know something, I think I've said more than I should say. I'm going to stop right here. Or even before I get to that point. Verse 3, for a dream comes through much activity and a fool's voice is known by his many words. And a lot of us who might have been considered wise are going to be accused of being a fool by the Lord. Because we weren't careful. We didn't take this to heart. We didn't take to heart the damage that can be done when we are talking too much. We run out of things to say. So we start, well, let's talk about this person. Let's talk about this person. And oh yeah, I heard this last week and I need to pass this on because I don't have anything else to say. And pretty soon, we've said a whole lot. And maybe some of it shouldn't have been said. And who's going to answer that? Well, the Lord's going to answer it on the judgment day. And we just got all these verses. Like I say, we have this whole section here of don't or be careful about what you say. And then we have this verse here where God again says you need to fear and respect the terrible power of the tongue. The tongue is dangerous. Very, very dangerous. It can be misused. And God says one of the safest things that you can learn as you mature is to lower the volume, and I don't mean number, I mean I don't mean volume as far as sound, but lower the amount of words that are coming out. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Troubles here, troubles in the life to come. It is a terrible thing for somebody to come to you and say, I heard you've been talking about me. Oh, you did? What did I say? Well, this person came to me and they said, you said this. And you say, oh boy, I did say it. Now what? Would you rather have trouble like that, or would you rather not say those things? You say, well, I'm very careful. I don't talk to people about other people unless I can trust them that they won't pass it on. Well, wait a minute. If you're afraid they might pass it on, then you shouldn't have said it at all. We have to be careful. As Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. So oftentimes, we pass judgments on people and we pass them on to other people without even really thinking about the consequences of what would happen if that person heard it, and maybe more importantly, whether or not the Lord is really happy with us talking like that. And we have to be so careful with it. If you guard your mouth and tongue, you're going to keep your soul from troubles, from the people you're talking about, and from the God who heard you say it. When you are careful with your words, you're going to keep your soul from trouble, because your angry words are not going to come out of your mouth. The brightest links aren't going to be broken if we are careful with how we talk. And so these are things we all need to take to heart. And again, Proverbs 29, you say, well, I've seen this before. Well, yes, you have. We just showed it a minute ago, but I want to hit it again. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Why would there be more hope for a fool? Because at least a fool has a hope that he could get the information so that he wouldn't do what you're doing. Well, wait a minute. Maybe he's saying I'm a fool if I'm hasty in my words. Well, you know, actually, I think that's what he is saying. Do you see a man who's hasty in his words? He's a fool. And there's more hope for a fool than there is for him, because a fool just doesn't have any knowledge. Wow, I better be careful. I better think before I speak. And maybe I better say to myself, these words, I don't know. I learned that a few years ago. When I'm angry, I just tell myself, it's not the time. You know, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Sometimes you're angry and you think to yourself, this needs to be said. I'm the one that needs to say it, and it needs to be said now. And you're just as wrong as you can be. And an hour later, you're going, what did I do? So do you see a man who's hasty in his words? Think before you speak. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You mean my entire relationship with God has no benefit and no value if I don't bridle my tongue? That's what James said. If I think I'm religious and I don't bridle my tongue, I think the point is you're not religious. You think you are. But pure religion and undefiled begins here. He's going to end with that, but it begins here with bridling your tongue. Put a bridle on your tongue. Because if you don't, your religion, your service to God, your hope of eternal life is useless. These are not my words. I'm not pulling these out. I'm reading them out of the scriptures. This is something God wants us to carefully consider and be very careful with. Do you not understand? Do you not yet understand, Jesus said, that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. You see, we've kind of limited it. We've been talking about angry words, and we've been talking about gossip, and we've been talking about the damage that can come when we say things we shouldn't say because we're angry. He broadens it out. He says that through your words, evil thoughts come out into the open. What you're thinking about comes out into the open. And if what you're thinking about is murder or adultery or fornication or thefts or false witness or blasphemies, if those are your thoughts, those are what are going to come out. And this is how all of these things occur. We don't commit adultery just out of the blue. It starts with thoughts, it moves to words, and then it comes out into the light of day as an action. But it doesn't start immediately. It has to go through a certain process. And so out of the heart, these evil thoughts come out into the light of day through our mouth. And once they've come out into the light of day with our mouth, we've made a commitment. We've made a commitment. When Potiphar's wife said to Joseph, "Lie with me," she was making a commitment. She was offering something to Joseph that he'd never even considered. Something that he would have never had even a thought of, but now it's an enticement because it's come out of her mouth, and now he knows her intentions. He knows what she wants. And the same thing is true, we see in the Proverbs, where we have all these young men and they say, "Let's all start stealing and let's form a gang and let's develop." And some people are thinking, "They've never even thought about that before." Matter of fact, many of the sins that you and I have gotten involved in our youth were involved because of the conversations we had with our friends who made commitments. "Let's get drunk this weekend." Well, I may have never even thought about getting drunk. I may not even have known what alcohol and drunkenness was, but I have this friend who's come in, and out of his heart has proceeded this evil thought that has now become real, and it has become a temptation, and this is what the devil did with Eve, and this is what has continued all the way up through the present moment. And every one of these things can never come into the light of day until they first of all come out in evil thoughts, and then verse 18, they proceed out of the mouth. So if we can stop it before it comes out of the mouth, it just stays an evil thought. But it can't come into the light of day, and it can never come into being without the tongue. So Jesus is describing here, he says, you know, when you put something into your mouth and your tongue helps push it down into your stomach, he said, that can never defile you. They were worried about the defilement of these foods. And Jesus said, no, it's those things which come out of the mouth, coming from the heart. Those are the things that defile. And here's another verse. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if we tie what Jesus just said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, then he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Now, this is what those of us who preach the gospel, this is what those of us who are using our tongues for edification and building people up and teaching and comforting and helping and using our tongues to call people and say so-and-so needs help or this has occurred and we need to pray. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, cheating, blasphemy, these things will never come out of the heart until they reach a certain level. Except, as James points out, you just can't trust the tongue. It may not be a certain level. It may just be blurted out. It never should have been said. It was something that was kept hidden. And it should have never come out of the light of day, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As he said, a dream comes when you think about something too long, and so also do sins come out of the heart into the light of day when we think about them. And then verse 36, but I say that for every idle word men shall speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. So just keep in mind, God's got a recorder going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And unfortunately, it isn't just what's coming out of the mouth, it's also recording what's in the heart. We need to repent of our thoughts just as much as we need to repent of our words. But the Lord here is very clear. Some of you, verse 37, are going to be justified by your words, and some of us are going to be condemned. Wouldn't that be sad to live a godly Christian life, to have a good religious upbringing, and be a very spiritually minded person, and be faithful in our attendance, and faithful in our study of the Scripture, and faithful in repenting, but not being careful with our words, and have our words trip us up on the last day? And James said that's very, very possible, because that you can stumble, you can reach a point where you don't stumble in your deeds, but if you cannot stumble in your words, you're a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. So these are the things that James wants us to think about. And so he talks about little things. He says a rudder can change the course of a ship. And a fire, a little fire, can change the forest from a beautiful forest into ashes. And he said, a tongue can change the course of a life. And so the next words that come from our mouth, we don't know where they're going to take us. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful about if we want to guard our hearts from trouble, if we want to not be rash, if we don't want to have to hear these words again from an irate brother or sister in Christ, from a neighbor who we said something we shouldn't have said, or from God who heard it and said, I don't appreciate that you said that. Why did you say that? And then we have to give an account. And so as we consider our tongue, and we should, I don't care if we've been a Christian for 5 years or 50 years or even more, we need to be aware of the danger of the tongue. And the danger of the tongue can occur at any moment. It's like this wild animal. It's never going to be tamed, and you just never know what might come out next. And so we have to be careful. So as we now pick up our songbooks to number 442, we can certainly talk about the tongue and the temptations of the tongue. As I said, when we're angry, when we're feeling a lust and we want to fulfill that lust, when we are in a bad mood and we just want to unload on someone, those are temptations. Those are temptations that need to be crushed, because the deadly poison of an asp is under the tongue. And if we're not careful, we just don't know. And as I said last week, when the devil said those few words to Eve, he lit a fire that is still burning in the world today, and that will be burning, and James said it actually comes from hell. There will be the fire that's in hell. But it was started then, and it's just continuing on. And brethren, let's not be like the devil. Let's not perpetuate that fire. So if we can be of any help to anyone in the audience today who recognizes that temptation is in their life, and maybe they need to publicly confess their sins this morning, maybe you need the prayers of the congregation, maybe this is the day you want to be baptized into Christ, this is the opportunity, today is the day of salvation. If we can help you in any way, we'd like you to offer that opportunity while we together stand and sing.